Paige.
Rhonda Dowling. Rhonda Dowling, right? Yeah. You're correct. Hello, Lates. Hamakabel son of Mechabero. No, sorry. No, we did look at this. Look at you. Look at you. You are incorrect.
I'm sorry.
I look at you. Sakhiyon, a worker who works by work by day, Gavika Lila, then the boss has all night to pay him, but he must pay him by morning. Because it says, Lo soli pula sakhit chad boker. The wages of the worker shall not rest with you overnight until morning. The Sakhalila, worker who works by night, Govek Koyombi collects the entire day, the entire next day, which actually goes for the Pasuk, Biomoti Tain Scharo, on his day you should give him his wages. And we're going to discuss that in some greater detail. The Sakhir shows a worker. Excuse me. It works by day and by night. He collects all day and all night. Now, this is a question, what exactly it means, all day and all night? We're going to discuss that tomorrow. Sochir Shabbos, a worker who works for a week. Sochir Chodesh, a worker who works for a month. Sochir Shana, a worker who works for a year. Sochir Shavuot, a worker who works for a seven-year period. Yotze Bayoyim. Whenever his job terminates, if he leaves during the day, he collects during the entire coming night. The glucose at night, he collects the entire day, night, and the entire subsequent day. Okay? Now, Shmuel Amar, the Gemara is going to take some issue with this, according to Tanakama. I should say, let me make this clear. There's the mission not divided into Tanoim, but like the Bnei Moshe says, that we know Paskin, like the last opinion in our mission, it's never 24 hours. Okay, it's never 24 hours. Right? We're going to see that in the Gemara in some detail, but it's never 24 hours, and the Gemara is going to discuss that. Even though the Mishnah brought such an opinion, possibly. Right? Okay, says Marishmu Amar Lamachar Oyvim Mishum Yermoti Tein Scharo. The next day, you transgress. On that day, you shall give his wages. Now that means that you don't transgress until the next day. Next day meaning the next halachic day means theoretically, if you stop going working at night, you still have till the next day to get paid, right? I mean, it's a whole almost 24 hours. Not till sunset. Well, yeah, till sunset the next day, right? Okay, so you don't transgress to Yomoti Ten Schoro until the next day. Rabbi Dayser says, not true. Yom Echad Hu the Tamar, and that on one day, the Oiver Olav Kol Hashem Osol, you transgress both Yisurim. Of Yomoti Ten Schoro, giving his wages on that day, and Lo Solin Apula Sochid Chad Boker. How so? Imigal Kroy, if you're concerned about the Psukim, the Psukim seem to indicate that it's not till the next day, because it says Biyomo Titein Scharo, which sounds like you have until the next day to pay, right? So it says the Gemara in Biglal, in other words, you don't transgress till the next day comes. In Lamakai Mikroi Tipater B'Sachir Shos Yom V'Layla. This is talking about the Sachir Shos, somebody who's working per hour, not per diem, but per hour at night and at day. Sheyochel likvos kol hayom v'kol hayla. He collects the entire day and the entire night, meaning that it doesn't kick in until the next day. But that's only if he works hours which are allotted both in the day and during the night. Okay? It would have to be both during the day and during the night. How so? Tani Kane, the Gemara is going to explain. Sochir shows by yom, go the kol yom. If you work for a certain amount of days, not per diem, but per hour during a day, when you must be paid by the end of that day, because that means that that day is the day which you must be paid. You don't get till the next morning, right? It's not the next morning in our case. Because Shkia, right, if you work in the entire day, per diem worker, then he would have all night to pay you. But if you work per hourly worker, then he must pay you by the end of that day. You see that difference? And so similarly, Belaila, if it's at night, go because Laila. Then you could have, he has all night to pay you. You work per hour night, again, not for a night, but per hour at night. Then he goes, then he has until the next morning to pay you. But now he doesn't have the next day. Were you to have worked for the entire night, per night as opposed to per hour at night, then you would have the entire next day to pay. You would have the next 12-hour period. So basically what it boils down to is like this. If you, way I understand you, Shami, if you work part of the entire night, the entire day, so then he has 12 hours afterwards which to pay you. If you work per hour during the night, per hour during the day, he really has to pay you by the end of that 12-hour period in which you did your work, in which you were contracted to work. Okay? Now, Sachar shows b'yom of Alayla, if you work, the only time it comes out to 24 hours that the next day you will transgress the Isser is only if you work both hourly worker during the course of a day and a night. In other words, you work both parts of the day and parts of the night. And in that case, or really should be the way this Koryo has a Koryo v'chol laila. In that case, you have the talk, it's not till the next day that you transgress the prohibition. But generally speaking, it's very likely that you will transgress the prohibition on the self same day. And the only time it's the next day completely is if you work both during the day and at night. Okay? Just per hour, but both day and night. Okay? We're assuming is like this, that you don't have somebody who works per diem and at night in the same 24-hour period. We're not talking about such a case. That would be true as well. But we're talking about there are people that, it can't be a person who works during the day or the night, because then immediately after the next 12-hour period, they're liable, right? When it's when is it an entire 24 hours, that's only if he's a hired worker for hours, both during the day and during the night of that time. Okay?
I'm trying to understand the logic of why, if you only work per hour, then
you're superior. But if there's a technicality, if you're working both day and, if you work like 4 hours during the day and 4 hours during the coming night, so he actually gets off on technicality and paying you for the day before until a full night has elapsed, because you're continuing to work for him during that period. So yes, theoretically it should be more chomer. You should have to pay at the end of that, at the end of that period. But it isn't, because of the arrangement which you had here to work per hour extending from the day into the night. So in essence that gives you the deficit that the work of the day, which normally you would have to pay at the end of the day, you're only going to be paid subsequent to the coming night. Okay? So it's that effect. Okay. It's kind of confusing. I'm not sure I got it right, but it sounds good. Echot tzchar odem v'echot tzchar behema. You have whatever the wages are. It's not just wages of you of an individual, but if you hired out your cow, right? V'echot tzchar behema, you hired out your tools. Yesh b'mishum b'yom otzit tzchar, there's the halacha that must be paid during the day. Right, during that day, if it's an hourly worker during the day, if it's a per diem worker, then for night, then by the end of the next day, then don't leave the wages till morning. Same idea. Amos, I went to Trubas Machatava when the employee asks to be paid. Lotavo, if the employee never asks to be paid, and whoever loves, then you don't transgress. Which is a cool heter, right? Just get your employee not to ask for his wages, right? If you leave the wages by a storekeeper, it's a shulchani, or by an agent, money changer. They don't transgress because you made the arrangement to pay. An employee takes an oath at the time that he should be paid, that he has not been paid, and he's believed, and he gets paid on the basis of his oath. by a ger toishav, a ger who comes to dwell among the Jews, then you must pay him on his day, right? You have to pay him as well. However, there is no halach of lo solim pula socher itchad boker by the ger tzedek. I don't know how we make a dichotomy like that, because the chora would just want us to do with working at night, want us to do it during the day, but the ma'isa, one is a pralav and one is an asay. So the lav of lo solin doesn't apply to him. The asay of biomoti den tzcharo does apply to him. The Gemara is going to explain why. Okay, says Gemara, see if it says lo sashok ani vevion, do not swindle or cheat, meaning in terms of depriving wages or such like, poor person, you're a destitute person, miachicha, from your brothers. Eliso, that's from Jews. Migercha, from Gerim, and Zegetzer refers to a full convert. Bar Tzucha, in your land, the rabba sabbeim avonim comes to include payment made for the use of animal or slaves. Bisharecha, in your gates, the rabba satalim comes to include payment made for the use of movable objects. Tani, parallel to Mishnah. If you leave the wages by a storekeeper, away to Shukhani by a money changer, you taka transgress. No, you don't transgress. But then it's ten chances to the storekeeper or the money changer. He transgresses because he's responsible. Don't ask me why I accept responsibility. Maybe he pays paid for it. But he becomes responsible.
He has to go call the worker and say, I have your money?
No. That's what it says next. If the employee demanded of the storekeeper or the money owner to money changer to pay him. Lo tavo, demand of him, so then anyway, beloved, you don't transgress. Now there's another line the Braisa as brought down by the Shai Torah Eretz Yisrael. It says, "Amosai, when is it true? Also, you don't have this. Bisman chelo hitna, where that's only when the employee or employee when the storekeeper money changer didn't make a condition and say, look, I'm willing to do you a favor and hold the wages, but I don't want to become the paymaster." He can make the condition. If they make a condition that they're not going to be the paymaster, just like a shomer, in an overlove, they don't transgress the prohibition either. Okay? Now, continuing further, Hasachir bismano nishbav noito. The sachir at Senra Mishnah, the employee at the time he's supposed to be paid, if he takes an oath, he's believed, and he gets his wages. You don't have next line, which I'll read now from it's from the Iskariel. Avarzmano, if the time passed, eno nishbav noito. He's not believed, because we say you have to bring proof that you weren't already paid, right? However, if the witness says that he demanded payment from the employer at the time his employee wages were due, and he didn't get it, even subsequently he could take a shvuah and be believed and get payment. Okay? Back to the Gemara. This is only where the employer says already gave that the employer is believed after the time is over. However, Avli Omar Le Etain, right? If at the time yesterday the employer had said I will give, and that should be now Ulam Machar. Take out the word im. The next day, the employer comes and says, Nasati lo, already gave it, ain't no net money, he's not believed. Which, if we know that at the time it was demanded from him, he said, I will give, but he didn't give anything. So then, in that case, it's not believed later on. That's Rish Lakish's opinion. And then the employee can take the shvua and collect even subsequently. Rabbi Yossi argues, Rabbi Yossi Chin Amar, Vafilu, even. It should be Amar Lo Etain. He said, "I will give Ulamachar," and the next day Amar Lo. He said, "Nasati Ne'eman." He says the guy that the Baal Boss's belief. Whereas with chazakah, that he's not going to transgress the Yisurim, which are involved not paying on time. So therefore, even if when he was says he was first demanded, he said at pain, we believe him later on when he says that he paid.
Why is it a chazakah?
What?
Why is it a chazakah?
Well, I assume that the burden of proof shifts to the employee, because the employee should have taken precautions. Once he has an employer who says, I will give, right? And it would, he is liable to give, not to transgress the prohibition, so he should have taken precautions to make sure that he has aid in that he never received anything.
Like
right, so it's a machlokas, but the tables turn as a result of this, elapsing time, etc. Okay? See, it says Lo Sashuk is Reach in the same passage where it speaks about Lo Solin. Well, actually, it's not the same passage. We draw a parallel between Lo Solin, where we say you don't transgress by Ger Toishav, and Lo Sashuk is Reach, do not deprive your friend or shortchange him. Probably Ger Toishav that excludes Ger Toishav is not called Reach, it's not called your friend. So therefore, it's like you're not chayav Lo Sashuk, you're also not chayav Lo Solin. Okay, so it's interesting, again, the mitzvahs that say, even though one pertains to day workers, one pertains to night workers, but ultimately, eventually, you transgress all of them, right? So, biyomo titein scharo, the mitzvahs that say, applies to a ger tosha. The los I say, lo solim pula socher yitchad boker, does not apply to a ger tosha. A ger tosha, as you know, is a guy who lives in Eretz Yisrael, keeps shem mitzvahs. So, eventually, eventually, you'll transgress the essay, no matter what. But the lab does not not pertain to the Yotzer. Okay, halachi base. Amavus chaberu. If somebody loans his friend money, loan mashkena, you should not take from collateral elbe basedin. Okay, now this collateral taken after the loan, right after the loan has been acted, it's like it's not simultaneous. Well, actually, not necessarily. I take that back. Loikar is the base. It's any type of collateral. Loikar is the base of itos mashkono. You also can't enter his house and take the collateral. Shemar says, "Vachutz tamod, you stand outside, and he'll bring you a collateral outside." Hoylosh shnei kelim, it's really security more than collateral. Hoylosh shnei kelim, he had two vessels. Noit alecho ma'aser alecho, then you keep one and give back the other. You switch off based on what your friend needs. You keep giving back what he needs. For example, Machzir Sakar, if you took a pillow and a plow, Machzir Sakar Balayla, giving back the pillow at night, Vesamachresha, and his plow by Yom during the day. Bimeis, if however the borrower dies, in a Machzir Yashim, you need not give back for use the implement to his heirs, because his heirs, they probably have their own implements already. You only keep giving back the collateral to the borrower for 30 days. After 30 days, Mokhram Basin, you sell them in Basin as a way to raise the money to pay off your loan. Okay? We don't pass on Shemuel. Sibin Izak, it says by damages, it says, according to this Gemara, it's a big Machlokes throughout Shas. It was the rice of the Rabbana. But the Argamari and Daflam and Hay holds, by Nizokin, by Tort, you should be going to be as you collect from the best land. It says, the best land you pay. Uksib Imam, it says by loans, although it doesn't say explicitly, we're going to learn out in a minute how it says it. Shehad Goyve Bebenus, you collect from medium grade. Not from the best grade. Shemot says, "Va'isha shera tanoisha bo." How do we know that? Doesn't say anywhere in the Torah when you collect. In fact, it sounds himself to get. It's only the rabbana. It's the takona. The rabbana made shlotino delos between loving that the door shouldn't be locked in front of borrowers. That the borrowers, if they pay land, they pay bainos, they pay average grade. So, but here the pasuk, they learn out of the pasuk. What's the pasuk? Not a direct pasuk. It's a pasuk about collateral. It says about collateral. Va'ish asher tanoshabo, the person against whom you hold the debt, the goyimer, etc. He brings out the collateral is brought out from him. Alom the karkos mina mashkantos at gomishkoner. So we learn out the land from mashko. Says more. What do you mean? Kavasa yimudu mashkoner fi karkos. It's not explicit in either place. Maybe we learn mushkin from kark. In other words, let's say by a creditor, he gets edis like by nizokin. Who says there's any difference? So Pirush Rabbi Yisrael Breivik is more explained. He said val toiro. The way the law works is sheish liach basin nichnas v'goyev bebeinonis. A shliach basin is the one who goes in to collect. You don't go in to your debtor's house. You're not allowed to go in. Says Yotzi Achutza. So who does go in on your behalf? A shliach basin. What's a shliach basin is impartial. If he was partial, if you would go in, what would you want to take the best stuff? If the guy would be all allowed to give you out whatever he wants, what would he give you? The worst stuff. What is the shliach basin going to do? Bainerness. And therefore, since by mashkun it's bainerness, very cute, we transfer to the land with which it's paid upon default, it's also bainerness. Okay? Now, drasha, to the best of my knowledge, does not appear anywhere else in Shas. Yeah. That's interesting stretch. What? It's logical. Oh, yeah, okay. So, says Gemara, if the lender would go in, it's going to take the better stuff. If the borrower goes in and brings out, it's going to bring in the worst, out the worst stuff. The Shliach Basin goes in. Now, the Tani Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Shmuel argues. Rabbi Shmuel says, the lover goes inside his house and takes out whatever he wants to give you. Even the, you know, the garbage. Shneimer says, Vaisha share the Tanoisha Bo, says the person against whom you're holding the debt, it says, Goimer, the person says, Yotzilech Zavad Chutza, he gives the collateral out. So it sounds like he takes the initiative himself. So we obviously learn that Baal Chov collects payments is only the Rabbanan. Since the Raisa, by Mashkon, it's the worst. On Rabbi Lo said, where we have the conflicting view, Tani Tamo, we learned over there, Bryce says, Chavo Bebastin. It says, the word used to describe Mashkon Torah is Tachbol. And Chavo means to impound. And impounding is a function of a court. So that's why he's learning that the Mashkonas and Torah are done by a court. Shlo Basin Minayin. How do we know that there's even a concept of Chabol without Basin? In other words, that you can do it independently, right? Basin. It's not clear under what circumstances, but at least in some Basin gives you permission if there's no Basin around. How do you know there's such a thing? Because it says Tachbol twice. Now, of course, I didn't even know. I didn't notice. It was only back in my mind. Rabbi Shmuel wouldn't die to Chabol Tachbo because Rabbi Shmuel holds different Torah Kolosh in the Odom. Torah just speaks locally, so therefore he learns that there's Takano. It's either or Midoraisa, and he opted to say that nobody that the Loiva takes out of the house himself, but Rabbi Law. Obviously, the path of Rabbi Kiva is Darshan Chabot Tachbo, one for Basin giving out and one for the borrower himself giving out. I'm not sure that's true, actually. Now I think about it, it's talking not true. Because here it's talking about. One is with Basin himself and one is you as a Shliach of Basin. Look at that. Shlo Basin, Naitam, Lori Chabot Tachbo. Mishkino Shlo Bir Shus. However, if you took a mashkon I take it back again. You know what I said before? It's not true. Rabbi Shmuel says, I'm not sure where Shmuel would do this possible. Rabbi Law is Darshan Chavol, means primarily Basin should do it. Even before you get to Lashem Bnei Adam. It's not an issue of Lashem Bnei Adam. It's the Love, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Love brings it out to you. According to Rabbi Law, since it says Chavol, it's the Basin which does it. However, there are certain circumstances of no basin around where you can do it yourself because it says Chavol Tachbol. Okay? So it says it twice. But really, It's Basin's function primarily. It's also your function secondarily. According to Rabbi Shmuel, it's your function primarily. So I don't think it's actually an issue of Lashem the other man, upon some further reflection. So it says, when Mishlo Shlobishus, if the guy was Mimashkin without permission. Now, what that means is that if the individual on his own volition went and got a mashko from the borrower, he has to give it back at the proper times, as described in the Mishnah. If he doesn't, he transgresses all the prohibitions which he mentioned, lo sachbol, and wherever else the psukim actually mentioned. Mishkano v'chazer v'nasan lo, if you took the mashkon and then you gave it back to him as you were supposed to, midas hadin biyado, you fulfilled the strict letter of the law. Don't think yourself such a chassid. It's the midas hadin, that's what you have to do, right? You have to give back that which he needs at night. You have to give back that which he needs during the day. So you're not such a big tzaddik. But you do gain this. This is, you get back, you get nechasim mishubadim, meaning that kind of like a reward for having given back the mashkon, though it's not really a reward. If you had not given back the mashkon, if the guy defaulted, where would you collect from? Only from the mashkon itself, right? But if you give back the mashkon, and even if you right now you possess the mashkon, but you've been giving it back regularly as you're supposed to, then what you collect from not just the mashkon itself, but from any property, even property he sold since he contracted the loan, even property which was sold to third parties.
That's assuming that the mashkon is not worth its money.
Right. Assuming that, that's exactly the point, right? Then you'll get more benefit that way, okay? Says the Gemara.
And if he hadn't loaned out the mashkon, that's all.
Oh, right. But the thing is like this. Imachsilo, if you're giving it back to him all the time, leizah darbar mishkan, the take out your mishkan, leizah darbar mashkon, if you're giving back all the time, so obviously it's not even security. Right, because one night, you know, when you give back his pillow, he'll take the pillow and go to South America, right? So where's your security? What good is it doing to take a mashko? So Sazman, I'll tell you. Piresh Rebbe, I assume it's supposed to be Rebbe something, but Piresh Rebbe, Shemot Avo Shemitah. Maybe Shemitah's going to come. V'yashmi, the halacha is this year, right, if at the end of the year, if you didn't write a provable, and you didn't have a mashko, then Shemitah will cancel your debt. But if you're holding a mashkon, then Shemitah does not cancel the loan. So then it's advantageous. Oh, or Shemaya Musalua, maybe that guy will kick the bucket, the debtor. Venimtu Matali Biyadiyoshi won't be able to collect any of the, there won't be any property, and all of the movable objects will be in hands of the heirs. So therefore, you want to have the mashkon as security against that eventuality that he drops dead, or that Shemitah comes.
And the reason why he gets
That's why he wants the chasm shubadim. That's not what he. Yeah, you said the metalfin, right? He wants chasm shubadim, right? That's correct. Tani, you can take his day garment at night. If you're a real malve, then every night you come back and give him back his pajamas. So you wear them at night. You come in the morning and you take his suit. You come in the morning and take his pajamas and give him back his suit. That's how you. So you really become his personal valet, right? And constantly giving stuff back and forth, right? I don't know. It doesn't say. Chaylokus yom v'layli, to take his day wear at night. Uksus layel biyom, and his night wear during the day. Machzir uksus yom biyom, you give him back his day wear during the day. Uksus layel biyom, and his night wear at night. Karvis sodin, a pillow and blanket, or shadarka lats lekasus balayla, which you use to cover during the night. Chavon biyom, you take him during the day. Machzir layel, you give it back at night. Korna machresha, axes and plows. Shadarkan la sosban malach biyom, which you use to do work during the day. Chayim balayli, you take them at night. Machzir biyom, give them back during the day. Am Rabbi Lazar says, even the departed the Hank Craw, Lo Sava of Hashemesh. Sometimes you translate the Pasuk, it says, the sun shall not come upon him, Lo Tidnach Olave Shimsho, that the sun shall not rise upon him. Mezimnon the departed La Allah. Sometimes explained to you the other way, to the other direction. Titame Olav Shimsha, that the sun should not set upon him. In other words, sometimes the sun should not rise on your mashkon, and sometimes the sun should not set on your mashkon, right? How so? It says, give him back the vote when the sun comes. That's Imale Shimsha. That's when the sun is coming up, giving back his day clothes and day tools. Abola Shemesh Tishibenelo. The other post says, until the coming of the sun, you return it to him. That's talking about his night tools. Give them back at night. Admetamishim Shemesha, before the sun sets. So sometimes Bo Shemesh means the sun's coming in. Sometimes Bo Shemesh means the sun's going out. Okay? Almona, a widow. Whether she's poor or whether she's rich, so you don't take a mashkin from her. It says, do not take the garb of an amana as a mashkin. Some of you take a millstone as chavola, or obviously during the day. Whoever loses a transgressive prohibition, the chayim shum came in transgresses too, he gets flogged twice, so to speak. Obviously, that's geshlak is monetary, but he's transgressed two prohibition. Shnei shum shneimar after shum shneiken because of the two components thereof. Shneimar says lo yachba rechaim v'rochem. Right, two separate things: the rechaim, the grindstone, v'rochem, the stone on which the grindstone runs. The two separate can't be transgressed from each one of them. Rechaim v'rochem below rechaim v'rochem v'vadimu. It's not just the grindstone and the stone run, which runs called or shosi ba'ochel nefesh, anything which refuses produce. Nehemiah says ki nefesh u'chovel, because it's a forewarning against taking improper mashkos. It says you're taking the nefesh. The nefesh means the capacity to prepare food. Tani amona, we learn to widow. Ben ashira, ben aniya, ben ashira, whether she's rich or poor. Ain me mashkin, so you don't take mashkin. It's a serious cause of Shema says lo sachbo, but begin amona. You don't take the garment of a widow. Echad aniya, echad ashira. That's whether she's rich or poor. Do you remove mayor? Rabbi Amar baloney. Aniya mashkin, so kolikar. And aniya, poor one, you don't take the mashkin. Ashira, you know, if she's a rich widow, right? So memachkinosa, you take a mashkon. Veino machzir, once you take it, don't give it back. Why is that? Unlike other mashkonos, mishemitok shabbats, because if you constantly come to return mashkonos, we see a shame. Right, everybody's going to say there's some fooling around going on here with the rich widow here. So things like this, they're interesting. Lieberman Tainas, I don't think it's right, but he says from the Yerushalmi, he can infer that he's a rich man, you do return him day and night. Because here it says, a rich almana, you never return to her. So what's the flip side of that? A rich man, you do return to him. So he wants to say the Bavli argues Yerushalmi, because Yerushalmi Bavli argues, because Bavli says by rich guy you never have to return it to him. He has plenty of pillows, he has plenty of pajamas, you don't have to return it to him. And he wants to infer from the Yerushalmi, and this I don't see. And the Yerushalmi, you can see the Yerushalmi else by a rich guy, you would have to give back the same, like by a poor guy, the pillows and blankets at night and the garments during the day. I don't see that here. Anyway, that's me, Titus. Says Mara, if you take as collateral a barber's shears, or about Zerif Niatzo, Zerif Niatzo. You transgress on both parts of the shears, Jewish true prohibitions. Chavo Echamam, if you only took one of the two parts of the scissors, Ein Oever Chavi Elal Echamam, you only transgress on that one. Even though the other one is rendered useless, but you only transgress once for taking the half of the shears that you took. I'm asking to Boris, if you took a yoke of cows, you know, two cows which are yoked together, or about Zevif Niatzel, Zevif Niatzel, you transgress both. Mishkin Echman, if you took only one of them, even though he can't do any work, Ein Orvel Echman, you only transgress on that one. Okay? New Perek. We have a house and a second floor of two separate people. Shenaflu, which fell, and it's a total loss in this case. They both divide up the trees and the wood and the stones and the rubble, ubafar and the dirt as well. We also look at wherever at which whose stones are most likely to have been broken. So one of them recognized part of his stones. Noitlan, he takes part of the stones as his own. Noitlan, he takes them. Voltsmin, they become part of his percentage of the wreck. So Tani, we learn Nichmar Ketanur, that's if it imploded like an oven collapse. You know, ovens were narrow, right? They were a bit like cones. So if it imploded. So then the Radbaz, not the Radbaz, but much earlier, changes gears here. Hatachtonos Rishushava, the ones on the bottom will break from the weight of the top ones, which fell down upon them. Nafalachutz, if it explodes, post-imploded, then all Yoros Rishushava, the ones which are on top are going to break because they fell further. So it depends if it falls in or falls out. Okay? Very logical. Okay? So all of this not the Bavli. One of them tells perceives that some of the stones are his. Noitlo volos when the cheshbon takes on the account as part of his cheshbon. On Rabbi Yeshua says, so Zemer Shishol let us hayad mitzadecho. It tells us that someone always has an upper hand. It's like a popular statement, right? It's a bitter popular statement. It says, you can always assert an operant. Now, he has no way of proving that it's his. No, so he has no way of proving, but he's Bari Vishema. He says it's my, they're mine. And the other guy says, I don't know. Bari Vishema, Bari Odi. So you see that the moral story is someone always comes out ahead. Which, Tom's here, we give an example of this from Yeridea. Fascinating. We're placed to choose an example. You have Tevel Meo. You have 100 bushels of untithed. And Meo Chun, 100 bushels of tithed, regular Chun stuff. And they got mixed together. So, Noito Meo, Noito Kufa Achas, Tevel. You have to take, Noito Kufa Achas, very take. 101 in order to take off Mises, because you have to make sure that, you know, that what you're getting is not 100 completely chulin. If you took only 100 units and took Mises from them, maybe those are the 100 chulin which are already Mises. So in order to hit something which is tevil and included, you have to take 101 units. So there was a mix-up here. Fairness should be that you split up 100-100, right? But it's, the world is not a fair place. So therefore, tevil comes out ahead with 101. And the evil guy, the devil guy, comes out ahead in this case. Okay? I'm Rabbi so too, Kuf Tev of 100 Tevel, Kuf Meiser, 100 already Meiser, Noita Mea Vach, the same idea, to take 101. I'm Rabbi Yosef says, why? Noita Mea, you say you only took 100, and you might say, Kol Chud Ola B'yodo. So then everything which you picked up might be chulin, and therefore it's tithing when I work, but nimtzu elu b'tivl, and the others remain tevil. So that's why you have to take a little bit more than 100, 101, in order to do the trumas meiser, actually, in this case, properly. Okay? Because trumas meiser is the 1%. It's like a little bit more than 1% because you have truma, it has no shear, it's a mashu, but it has to be something. Take 101. Or take a truma and truma smites from the devil. Is it fair? No, it's not fair. That's life. Says more. Now, the next Gemara, everybody messes up, and nobody understood it properly until I came along. I enjoy saying that. Elaine Tikraya. It says Tikraya, but it's Tikraya. Now, Tikraya, and it's really from the Bafli, it's not a Kiddush, but for some reason nobody understood that. You know, and it came out as a totally different shot. Very, very, very incorrect as far as I'm concerned. Tikra is the roof between two people. So it's a roof between the lower guy and the upper guy. Not over, between. That's a roof, right? So here it's just between the two of them, as we'll see in the next Mishnah. And it broke. It sprang a leak. So each guy says it's the other guy's responsibility to fix, right? So, even to cry up. Rabbi Zira Omar, Rabbi Zira said, Rabbi Zira, actually the word Omar is part of what Rabbi Zira said. Rabbi Zira, colon, Omar Are, he tells us that the guy at the bottom says, Zaki got me denied. He says to the guy at the top, you gotta fix my roof, because it's water coming through your apartment, down to my apartment, you gotta fix the roof, right? Rabbi Lo Amar, Rabbi Lo says, Amar Eloi, the upper guy says, but what the upper guy says is not recorded here, but you know what the upper guy says. What does the upper guy say? It's your problem, the water's going down to your house, you fix it. Right. So each guy claims the other guy has to fix it, and this machlok is also in the Bavli. However, this is the resolution. Banoi Amrin, the builders say, people who are expert in building, tarveon, they both have to pay. Because it's necessary for the building to have a solid ceiling between the two of them, so they both have to pay. That resolution, simple and elegant, is not in the Bavli. Ilan Yisodaya, the foundations, I take out the word vidor. Ilan Yisodaya, Messiah Laman Demar Banoi. The halacha by foundations assist the opinion of the builders, because what's halacha by foundation? The Shaitan Zohar changes the case a little bit. It's not necessary to change it, but it just makes life a little bit better. Instead of Haisa Chavasa Smuchel Chaisal Chater, he changes it to Haisa Chatzero Lamal, Chatzero Lamal, Me Chatzeri. In other words, I had a field, my yard is down here, and your yard is up here, and we want to build a fence over here. So from where do I have to start participating in helping to build the fence? Only from my height or down below where the foundation has to be built. So this Bryce says, from his friends, he can't say, the guy in the upper yard can't say, I'll start from up here. When you get up here, then call me. You got to start from him on the bottom and go up. So there's a riot to the builders that, you know, in foundations, you don't just begin with his foundation or leave it to one side. Rather, both sides participate equally in the same thing with the tikkur over here. Hoysa, however, there is an exception to this rule. We're on a tangent. Hoysa gabi sichin, if the foundation, if the wall has built on top, not just of his yard, but also he has a dugout here, or gali moros, or a cave over here, or a pit over there, and it's chavokum. You don't have to go down below surface level to build up the foundation from below. Only from surface level to your level, but not below the surface level.
Well, it's certainly his property.
Right. The lower guy's property. Yeah. But also up till here is, might be considered his property too. Nevertheless, they both built together over there, because that's already above ground. I'm Rabbi Yossi Rebun, the Bishon. This is only the case like those who live in Bishon. I'm not sure exactly who these people are, but this is a weird case. You can't build on the land at the Bani Aliyah until they build on the second floor, meaning that somehow they needed actually to have I can't really depict it in my mind's eye, but they had to have some sort of ceiling or some, not just or for the upper guy, for the lower guy, but also for the upper guy. In other words, the ceiling was necessary for both of them. So therefore, since that was the case, so therefore they both have to be there to both participate together. Okay, in other words, he's saying that there's a certain type of structure within Bishon, which more than any other structure, it requires the commonality in building between the upper floors and the lower floors.
Same roof, but the one side of the roof was upper.
It could be. It's obviously something like that, but there he's limiting that which he built together to cases where it's essential that they build things together, either foundations or the roofs, in order for it to work together. Okay? So I'm not sure exactly how it works, but obviously we can come up with an idea. Okay. I buy us for the interest time. You have a house in second floor, two different people. Mifchasali, if the upper floor has broken through the lower floor, Vein Baal Bais will to the socket, and the Baal Bais below does not want to help fix. He says, you know, you suffer. Hare Baalia Yoreid, the Baalia goes down, Dor Lamatan lives down below, Achi Yisaki Lo Esalyon, until he fixes the upper apartment with him. Rabbi Yosef says, Atachto Nosin Esatikra, when they build a house at second floor in common, the guy on the bottom puts up the ceiling, the Yonis and Maziva, and the guy on top puts off the top of the ceiling, the waterproofing, not sure exactly what you call it, but something like pitch on top of the ceiling in order to seal it off. Okay?
Now, who's the bottom
of the
ice?
The bottom guy. It's a co-op, though. Yeah. It's not a landlord-tenant situation. No, it's a co-op. Tani, we learned, Nifras Mokamatanur, if the place where the ceiling crumbled is where his oven is, then you're in Lamato, then he goes down and cooks in the lower guy's apartment. Not necessarily the whole thing, though. It's really a kula. He doesn't use the whole part of the lower guy's apartment, rather only the parts which broke. Mokka Kiro, another type of oven, Yer Lamati goes down below. El Duarmale, but the guy at the bottom could say to him, Avilosum, look, don't go through my house to get there. Make a ladder through the hole in the roof. To low, to heavy, only up enough you can go basically. At least so you don't come in and out of my house and cause problems with my privacy. Rabbi Yosef says, Tachtonis is that the lower guy gives the ceiling, Velinos is even the upper guy gives the waterproofing. I call waterproofing, I'm not sure it's 100% good translation, but it'll do. Rabbi Yusuf Shemesh Shlaki says, Hatachtonis and Tikoi gives the ceiling ulevachim. Now, the ceiling are slats. Not slats, are beams. And then there's slats on top of that, and then there's waterproofing on top of that. So the beams and the slats are both given by the guy below. It's only the waterproofing, the line on top, which is given by the guy on top. Okay? Says the Gemara of Elianos and Aziva. Beis Maziva, what kind of Maziva does he give? Rabbi Yaakov Barakov, which Rabbi Lo says, Maziva always got to get, he's responsible for a thick lining, a thick floor, let's call it flooring. Rabbi Lo says, Maziva, he knows he only has to make a average flooring. Now, this is not really a machlokas. Lo amaru el adios kosas. When you only need an average flooring, when all he does upstairs is rinse his cups. Brahmini, boy, Mashah's got money, but if he does laundry upstairs, so you need a much stronger flooring. After I evoke, Shem Lezim, Moide Baziva Ava, that he has to make a thick flooring to prevent the water dripping down. Harab Chil and Tzipori, but Rabbi Chanina, Paskin, those guys in Tzipori, Shushnem, the Sertikavas of Achin, not even the upper dwellers, even participated in putting up the beams and the slats of the roof. Why is that? Because they take their wine upstairs, the Mesa Pirosein Tamon, and their fruit upstairs, so they are very heavy users and they cause a lot of weight. So therefore, they have to participate in making the entire ceiling between the two, not just in making the flooring on top of the ceiling. Okay? How long a gibble? Abayis Valdiya Shushteyim. The house and second floor belong to both of them. Shenafu, they fell down. Our Baalia, the Baalbayis, so the Baalia, the guy on the second floor, says to the Baalbayis, the guy on the first floor, leave no, let's build. Let's rebuild. The guy above doesn't want him. Alright, Baal Aliyah, the second guy, Bainas Abayi, doesn't want to rebuild even his own house. So Baal Aliyah, Bainas Abayi, he builds the house below. V'yoshe b'sof, and he lives in the house, Ad Sheyite Lo Tzilsam, until the owner gives him his expenses, so now he can go and build his second floor. Rabbi Lomeru says that's ribbis. Because eventually what's going to happen is he's going to be getting paid for his expenditures, plus he got free use of the house down below in the meantime. So it's ribbis. He's going to get repaid on the loan, and he's going to get free use of the house in the meantime.
But it was because the guy didn't...
Okay, so it's not fair, but that's the way it is. It's ribbis nonetheless. No kinds of ribbons is not fair. You know, but that's the way it is. Leave public comments. Okay. Ella ba bais when it's a bais v'saliya. Rather, this is talking about the reverse case. The Ba'abayis builds a house and the second floor. This is where the guy in Aliyah doesn't want to participate, right? Umikaris Aliyah, and he prepares everything. He even puts the flooring on the second floor. V'yosher Ba'abayis, and he sits in the house and you know, it should probably be Ba'abayis is a mistake. Now I'm looking at it. Should be Ella Baal Bais, but it's a Bais and Saliyah. It's really the Baal Aliyah who builds. Yeah, it must be a mistake. I didn't look it up, but it's the upper guy. The upper guy builds the house and the second floor. And he puts him in the second floor, so it's not Ribbis anymore because he could have lived in his own house. The fact he's living downstairs just as a means of enforcement. It's not Ribbis because he has his own shelter since he built his own upstairs already. The Yoshua buys such a thing, it says if he just sits downstairs and prevents its use until he gets paid for his expenses. This is the same thing as before. Nobody understood it until I came along. Certainly I don't like whatever anybody said before me. So let's say okay, so the Ba'abayis wants to build. The guy on the bottom wants to build. Well, by Leon, the second floor guy, and right here, that's what? The opposite of the case of Mishnah. Maushi Omar, can he say, Gupinu? Now, nobody understands what Gupinu means. That's the problem here. But I think Gupinu means one of two things. Either, you know, Migo means the word Gav in Aramaic means inside. So Gupinu means we left the inside of this case, meaning the Baal Leon can say, I'm gone. I said, I don't want to live here anymore. That's why I'm not rebuilding. Gopina, I'm no longer within this situation. Can he say that? Boy, it's like we have a pasuk in Mishpatim. In Begapo Yavo, Begapo Yetze. So Gapo means alone, but it also has to do with coming and going. So he wants to say, I'm getting out of here. I'm not going to be involved anymore. Now everybody else learns that is it the guy in the first floor who rebuilt, can he say that the guy on the second floor does already rebuild, participate anyway. That's how they learn this line. But I'm learning, and I think it only works out, it works out much better this way. Can the guy on the top floor say, I'm out of here, you can't force me, I'm never coming back. And therefore, I'm not going to rebuild with you, I'm not going to pay my share, since I'm not coming back to live here anymore. Hi, I own the air rights, but I still don't want to live here. So it says, what can you say that? The Shemini Medos, so Yushan means a very interesting proof. My ruin is next to your ruin. And I decide, so I go into your ruin and I build it without your permission. I build up your haunted house. Okay? So can I charge you for it? You can! You reckon how much you spend should be kashir shabana. It's mashbiach makes a change. As much as you build, the other guy's compelled to give you expenses, even though he shouts and screams. I wasn't going to build my ruin. The fact that you build my ruin, that's your problem. No, since you get hanoah from it, so therefore you have to pay for that for the expenditures that he had. You don't have to pay the full value of the increase in value of your churba, but you have to pay his expenditures. It says, Gemara, Adamar is teaching us, She'enu emelov gupino min atzad. The guy who owns the churba next door can't say, I'm out of here, even when he's next to the other guy, right? Here, they're not directly related. One guy's next to each other, but he still can't say, I'm out of here, you shouldn't have gotten involved in my churba. The other guy must pay, the person who fixes churba. Albeit, at least, only his expenses, but that much he's got to pay. So, to Hashem, Shein Olam Omelo Gupino Min Atzad, since he can't get out of it on the side, Kein Omelo Gupino Min Lamad, once he was there, as a member of this community, he can't just say, I'm gone. No, we should let him in and make him pay the expenses of the guy in the bottom. Okay? Makes sense, right? It's not Zoy Lam Shlomfana necessarily. It's a different halacha. Zoy Lam Shlomfana means I give you a present, but here I'm demanding payment for my expenses. It might be similar, but it's not a disaster. Yeah, right. But I'm forcing that value by I'm misforcing. So I'm sure if he can refuse also. This he can't refuse. Since his estate has become free of value, he can't refuse that. The Chay Besabat. So too if you have a olive press, Shubai Besab, which is built into a cave. The Gina Achar Agabov, and there's a garden on top of that cave. The Nivchas, and the cave fell in. Haribal Gina, the owner of the garden, goes. Yored v'zorea, he goes and plants lamaton in the olive press. Achiasa base barakim until he makes domes for his base abad to be built in. The new issue: if you have a wall or a tree which falls to a public thoroughfare, b'ziko and they damage, you are exempt because it's an act of God. What are you supposed to do? However, they said your wall is rickety. You have a certain amount of time to destroy it. Locals here in order to cut down your questionable tree. If they fell within the time that they were given to cut them down or fix them, put to your example. They fell. After that time, you are liable because you are poshe. You should not have left them standing. Okay? Amen. It says, Maisel Bedoyas. Maisel's a certain grapevine. Which was leaning, you know, because grapevines have to be, you know, have to be held up. It was leaning on its friend's peach tree. And the peach tree broke. The guy on the peach tree was liable to put up another one because he was under obligation to provide a place for the grapevine to lean over, right? You think you're saying such a big chiddush? Isn't our Mishnah? It's explicit in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, if you have an olive press built into the wood, into the stone, right? It's in a cave, and there's somebody else's garden on top. And it breaks. That the guy goes down and plants in your olive press until you help him fix. So to here, of course, he has to provide the what was originally there, the tree. Says, well, what did you add on? So says, Mara, Shamanu she'ein koifin. For our Mishnah, we heard that you can't compel. In other words, in our Mishnah, it's not clear that you compel the guy to rebuild his olive press in order that the garden guy should go back on top. It sounds like, on the contrary, the garden guy goes down below. And he is stuck there because the guy below doesn't want to build up again. Says the Gemara of Tani, Vatani, Rebbe Chia Koifin, right? Rebbe Chia taught us that you do compel. That he said to the guy, you must rebuild in order that the guy can come you must rebuild your peach tree so the guy can have his grapevine. So it's here, you must rebuild the bottom so the guy can have the top. Says the Gemara of Neymar Velo Plige, let us say that they don't argue. I'm not sure if I have the syntax right here, but I have the ideas right. Ma'adamar koifin shusham. Rabbi Chiyu says you compel is when the guy's around. Then you compel him to fix the situation. Our Mishnah, ma'adamar, anchor, our Mishnah says we don't compel. B'shein oimacham, he's not there. He's the guy who owned that olive press, which collapsed. He's in chutzlar. So what are you supposed to do? So you can't compel him, so therefore instead you go down and plant there. If they give him time to cut it down, what's the proper time? 30 days. Okay? So that's 30 days to cut down your questionable tree or to fix your questionable wall. Halachas! If somebody had his wall adjacent to his friend's garden, and they fall, the walls fall. So the owner of the yard says, take away your stones. So the owner of the owner of the wall till now says, you know what? I give you the stones as a present. Ain't Shomilo, we don't listen to him. However, if the garden owner was stupid enough to accept that present, right? If then the guy who initially owned the wall wants to renege and says, you know what, take your expenses, I'll take back my stones, I'll change my mind, ain't trouble, it's too late. Once he gave the present, the guy gets to keep the present. Okay? I don't know why he took a present of stones, but he did. And maybe they were elaborately carved, who knows? Now, similar cases. Hasar is a polasos mobitem nakasha. Hire a worker to work with me and draw in hay. Armelos, tenishchari. So the worker says, pay me. Armelos says, you know what? Tomi mashos yisim ischarecha. Take, show the kesef, get kesef. Right? What's well, worth money? It's like money. So get, take your pay in the hay and the straw. It doesn't work that way. So special aloha, my workers, they must get paid in money. Right? Says the mar. But if he did accept the hay and the straw upon himself as a payment, then the employer wants to change his mind, says, here, I'll give you wages. I'll take the hay and the straw. Ain't trem, though, we don't listen to the word of the employer at that point. Too bad, too late. How much is the Sarabin? So he puts his fertilizer out in the public domain. Motzi, you're allowed to do so. But the person then who must immediately take it out of the Rishus HaRabim and take it to fertilizer. So you can't leave it to tarry there for any moments, okay? Because you can take it there momentarily, but you can't let it tarry there, okay? And shoring teeth Rishus HaRabim, one does not soak pitchers Rishus HaRabim, even for building purposes. Bein lo de bein, one does not make bricks Rishus HaRabim. It's very bad for the public domain. The graven teeth Rishus HaRabim, one can mix, not soak, one can mix cement Rishus HaRabim, avalo de bein, but not for the purpose of making bricks, which takes too long. Habani Rishus HaRabim, something is building his, and Rishus HaRabim does like he's building his house with the butts Rishus HaRabim. So then, maybe Avonim, somebody's bringing stones for that purpose. Maybe the guy brings, but immediately you build. In other words, one guy's bringing, one guy's building, you don't leave them there around at all. The music, if they're left around even momentarily, and they damage Mishan Mashizik, then the guy is responsible. Even though he had Rishus to do it momentarily, nevertheless, responsibility doesn't fall off. Even within 30 days of doing the work, he can start putting stuff in Rishus HaRabim, preparatory to the work, and we of course don't pass them again.
Don't we have a mission somewhere that wants to put straw or fertilizer in, so that they
we're coming, it's coming up. Very good, it's coming up. Says Maratani, Parik Adam Zivlo, a person can remove fertilizer at the opening of his yard, even to surround him, Lifanosim Yad, in order to move it immediately into his yard. But to leave it there, also. But regardless, if somebody comes to damage, I raise the chayv, you are liable. Rabbi Omer, this is it. B'shas volim, at the time of fertilizer, when the crop of fertilizer is coming up, Porek Adam Zivlo, a person can dump his garbage, his fertilizer, but Pesach Chatzer Rishus HaRabim, at the opening of his Chatzer Rishus HaRabim, Kedei Shisparach, in order that you get soft, Paragli Hata, by people stepping on that fertilizer. Ubehim an animal stand for his life, and can do that for Shloshim Yom for 30 days. Shamanas Kain Hinchu Yeshua Yisrael Soretz. When Yeshua gave land of Israel to the Jews, he stipulated that be able to put out their fertilizer to get softened up during the fertilizer season, which is what you remember. Okay? Pori, I don't remember where we had it, maybe in Gittin. Pori called them Afor of Pesach Chatzer Bishus HaRabim. A person can unload his dirt in the opening. The opening is Yard to Shusa Rabin. In Lishroso, it should be not in order to soak it, meaning to make, but here soak means to make some sort of cement. Ulaloso Gabidimus Mian, immediately to put it on top of the row of bricks which he's building. Lishroso, however, to leave it sitting there, also that's forbidden. Barak Elizabeth, if somebody comes damaging the Chayiv, then you're liable. You shouldn't mix your pitch, whatever, on another side of Shusraim, only in the construction zone, in the area nearby. Parek Adam Avana B'Pesach Hatzeir Rishon Sarayim. Also, a person can remove his stones at the opening to his courtyard, which is a rabbin, if nice and beyond, in order to rule them immediately. The choice, if he leaves in order to leave him there, usur. Bachar Uzebem, somebody comes to damage them, regardless of chayb, you are liable. Masar achaytiv legamo. The quarrier gives it to the camel driver. This is the transportation, you know, the how it gets to market, right? Once the quarrier gets the travel camel driver, the camel driver is liable for no liabilities. Once the camel driver gives it to the stonemason, the stonemason has no liabilities. Satos, once the stonemason gives it to the porter, the porter is liable for no liabilities. Hello, Gabi Bimus. If you put it on top of the scaffolding, if I'm a fox pig boy and you were wobbling it, the nuffle and it fell, Hadrichachai, the architect, meaning the guy who's building, is liable. Masra, it should be Hagamala Satat. If the camel driver gave it to the stonemason, Buzak, and then you would damage Bein Besitus, Bein Bevin, whether by the stone or the stone shavings, according to the way. The Pnei Moshe explains, in other words, like the stone shavings which come off the stone when the stone mason is working with the stones, the Satos is liable because he was working with the stones and the also with the shavings which came off of it. Now, I saw in the Sanhedrin of the Mashbiach wants to say Satos is like his tool. Same idea. In other words, you're liable if you get to, whether it's the stone itself, or its store, thus, or the stone itself, or its tools which damage you.
Nowhere does it say here that the
kavlan
is responsible.
No, but that's Adrichal. The Adrichal is the kavlan. Hasatas. No. It's not sitting. Hasatas l'sabal tapalam zayin al for the satas. Once the stonemason gives it to the porter, vuzak besitus. If you get damaged with the sawdust, you know, the car shavings. Asatas chayev, that remains the domain of the stonemason. He's liable for that. Be'evin, if you get damaged by the stone, hasabal chayav, the porter is liable because he's liable for the stone, not for the shavings. Also, v'yashav adimus, if the stone went up and was put into the row, enough then it fell apart to your exam because we assume we did it right. Last mission of Amitia, shtei gagos zuah gabizu. You have two snake ginos, two gabizu. You have two gardens, one on top of the other, right? Ve'eg ben Simon, there's wall growing out of the there's vegetables growing out of the wall between the two gardens, right? One on top, one on the bottom. It's a little garden. Rabbi Meir Meir Shalyanku belongs to the upper guy. Rabbi Meir Meir Shetak belongs to the lower guy. Rabbi Meir Meir says it should belong to the other guy. In the Tosafot, if the upper guy takes his dirt away, ain't kind of yet to be no vegetables, so the vegetables should belong to him, right? Because it's growing out of the dirt of his field. Amiria said, on the contrary, if the lower guy wanted to fill in that area with more dirt and raise the level, right? Wanted to fill, to raise the level, ain't kind of yet to be no vegetable, because it's growing out of the side in his airspace.
So what are those vegetables?
I would assume nobody is. It's probably even moist enough. Alright, said that'd be obviously a good issue. That's what Martha's bringing up. Look, they both can protest against the others, right? The upper guy can't take down his dirt and the lower guy can't build it up. Each guy will protest. We should look at from where the vegetable is driving its sustenance, which is in essence what you're saying, perhaps, which is from the upper field. Rishim says anytime the upper guy can stick his head down and get it, I raise the law, it's his. Mashar, the rest of the wall shall talk to him, belongs to the lower guy. Says Maramaya, so what should they do, Lamaisa? Ephraim, after all that argument, Ephraim, never saw that before. Ephraim, Shem, Rishloka, Shemaya, Chloko, they divide it up. Since we don't know, they divide up. Says the up to 10 fucking down from the top, that's called as far as the upper guy can stick his hand down. So that's all his. Okay? Rabbi Yonah said, as long as he's not overstretching or exerting himself. Okay? If he's a midget, can't do it. Okay? You have a wall between two it's a wall between two walls. But it means a wall between two neighbors, which got a hole in it. Rabbi Shmuel, Chanamar Mechtes and Mechtes. Rabbi Shmuel says each one owns half it. Chanamar Kulos and Kulos, and one says each one owns all of it. Now, I'm still not talking about the stones. The stones are talking about 50-50 that we saw previously. So, my Nafkumino, what are they arguing about? Matza Metzia. We don't know who built this wall. It's built hundreds of years ago. And you find a Metzia in the width of the wall. Right? You find some treasure in the width of the wall. So, Manamar Mechtes and Mechtes. He holds each one owns half the wall arbitrarily. So each one, it depends where the treasure is in the wall, closer to which one. Mandamar Kulaza, he says, no, since we don't know, the wall was built in ancient antiquity, we have no idea who built what. So therefore, no matter how far in the wall the treasure is, Kulazev Kulaza Motzi Zocha. So wherever you find it in the wall, you, even if it's 90% to the other guy's side, you, the buyer, the finder, gets to keep it. Okay? That's it. Hajal Abayas Alios, Likole Mesechus, Bava Mitzvah.
We had an error about putting the wall on.
Yeah, basically, yeah, that's right. They can go up, where they can carry on top. That's right, we had that. That's true.
We were